Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars, topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, where we talk all the news in basketball. My name is Ben.
I'm Pauline.
Yeah, my name isn't Pauline. Your name is Pauline. My name is Ben.
My name is Pauline.
We are back here at the GSMC Podcast Network, recording another episode of the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. As I mentioned, a great, great Monday, even though we all hate it. We are back and better than ever. We had a fantastic weekend in the NBA, Pauline. Probably the best.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Probably the best I can remember. A lot of big storylines from Russell Westbrook's
some history.
Heroics.
We got to witness history.
We have Kevin Durant back for the Warriors.
KD.
And we have the Cavs kind of bottling it against the Hawks. Just kind of blew it. We'll get to all that in the first segment. We have news. In the second segment, LaVar Ball kind of having to retreat from some of his comments he said about Bryce Alford, TJ Leaf, and Thomas Welsh. And then we have some news. We'll talk a little MVP, talk what James Harden had to say about the MVP. He's finally spoken about it. Seems like
right. It's
been forever. We've never heard anything that's coming out of Jamesy's mouth. And we'll also talk Ben Simmons. Possibly reports are saying that he's growing, which we've seen before.
I mean, we'll get into it later. but yeah.
I mean, for a guy who hasn't stepped on the floor yet, was number one pick, has a lot of potential. If some of these reports are true that he's 7 feet tall now.
Wait, no, we'll get into it later. Start with the...
Okay, I teased a little more than I should have, but nevertheless, like Pauline said, we'll get into talking about some of these games. So let's talk about the NBA from really, we'll do basically what happened with KD's return, and then we'll talk about what happened yesterday.
Sounds great.
And then we'll look at some games tonight. So as I mentioned, Kevin Durant did return to the Golden State Warriors lineup on Saturday. He played 31 minutes, did not have any minute restrictions. Steve Kerr said he is healthy and ready to go, so he's going to treat him as if it's a normal game. And
right.
I wouldn't necessarily say that's the case. He did play 31 minutes, which was the most on the team, though, Pauline. So he played more than anybody. He had 16 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. He did not shoot too well, a little rusty, you know what I mean? First game action, he shot
right.
6 of 15, but he looked good. He looked ready. Mm-hmm. He looked ready to go, looked good.
I'm now sure he's Warriors, happy about that, too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now the Warriors are on a 14-game winning streak, and you throw KD into the mix with this team who won 13 in a row without him. I mean, look out the rest of the NBA.
Right.
I'm
really happy about it. I'm glad. I'm sure, because you know when you always have like that first game back, it's a little bit, you're nervous, you're not quite sure. You feel good when you're practicing and stuff like that, but game time is a little bit different. So I'm sure he feels a lot better, at least, well, one, because he had a great game, but then two, also, just to get that first game out the way. You know, just to get it out the way.
Those jitters, get them done and over with.
Right.
And I did not mention, but the Warriors did win this game. They kind of crushed the Pelicans, 123-101. The Pelicans, of course, eliminated from the playoffs. Nothing's really been working out. They rested Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, although they had some sort of injuries. We all know they're healthy scratches. So when they're eliminated from the playoffs, there's really no need to play them anymore. So they're kind of just shutting them down for the rest of the season. So, and then Steph Curry did not play as well with a left knee contusion, which is a fancy word for a bruise, which is a fancy way of saying, he's
rested. Was chilling. Yeah.
Like, did you see what the Knicks Twitter put over this weekend?
No.
I forget. It was Porzingis and someone else.
Uh-huh.
And, like, it was, like, Porzingis rest, like, or, like, out, like, sore loser, like, back or something.
Oh, yes, yes.
Like, the totally throwing shade at him. Like, oh, yeah, we're resting. We're tanking. Like,
right, right.
I mean, everybody's tanking.
That's the one thing that's kind of fun with some of these organizations, like social media.
Yeah, but the league kind of, like, said, like, okay, you guys can't be, like, too... Like the Kings,
see, they take out the fun
Kings
of everything.
Were, if the Kings are good at one thing, it was like totally throwing shade at whomever they were playing. Like
right, right.
I remember the Kings beat the Cavs this year. Like, you know how the Cavs have the, like the C with like the
with
sword?
With the saber,
it
a, yeah.
It was an L with like...
And you know, I've actually seen that little graphic elsewhere now.
Yeah, like the Kings with the were saber, like fantastic I'm like, at yeah. it. And then I remember like the NBA was like, okay guys, like come on, let's be a little... More considerate.
More tasteful.
And then they kind of like went over the top. Like the Kings were playing somebody, and they were like, the Twitter pages were going back and forth. Like, fantastic play by like someone. Like great passing. Like great job. Like, you know, they're kind of like.
I can just
like,
imagine a couple like college guys in there just.
Exactly. That's
off.
What I imagine. Like,
yeah.
Just a couple of guys that are up to no good. Like, started making trouble on Twitter. Like. A total Will Smith remark there. But nevertheless, as I mentioned, KD is looks like he's healthy and back and ready.
Back in action.
And we'll have to see how it happens. Of course, the Warriors, the number one overall seed in the playoffs. 14-game winning streak going in now. And that's definitely good, fantastic news for them. Hopefully KD
right.
can stay healthy. And I want to see both. Like I said on Friday, I want to see teams fully healthy come playoff time and see what they really got. You know what I mean? If
mm-hmm.
a team's injured, it's not the same. So... And then let's move over to Russell Westbrook now. Russell Westbrook, of course, making history this week in a couple ways. Number one, on Friday in the game against the Suns. They did lose the game, but he did get 6 assists, which now qualifies him to average a triple-double for the whole entire season, even if he does not...
Do anything else.
Like, literally plays and does not have a single point, rebound, or assist. He
mm-hmm.
will average a triple-double this season. So, first off, congrats to him. He's the second player all-time to do it. Of course, the other one, Oscar Robertson. So great there for Russ to do that. And then yesterday, he basically had his MVP moment, Pauline.
Yep.
So Westbrook yesterday records his 42nd triple-double of the season.
Yes.
50 points, 16 rebounds, and 10 assists. He now has the most triple-doubles in a single season. Of course, Robertson had 41.
That's... Go ahead. I was going to say, well, and that's one of the things that I love about when he gets these triple-double stats is it's not just 12, 11, or 10. 50 points.
Yeah, it's 30,
like,
50 points.
Yes,
level.
Yes.
And for me, what I find most fascinating about this whole season
mm-hmm.
is that he's a point guard. The dude's 6'3". I mean,
yeah.
I feel like, and there's video out there, especially on free throws, that mm-hmm. will show you that the guys are kind of like letting Russell Westbrook get some rebounds. Like they're kind of just like...
Okay.
Not attacking
yeah.
the ball. So, I mean, maybe a little bit, but the dude has 16 of them yesterday.
Yeah,
but
that's
for me,
not just all off free throws.
Because he's a point guard. He's,
right.
There's like, I'm not going to say there's no one on the team, but there's not really a lot of people on the team. So he's going to score a lot. He's
mm-hmm.
going to pass the ball up because he has the ball in his hands literally every single play.
Right.
But the rebounds, what I was surprised. Like, 16 yesterday to average. He's got a higher rebound per game, I believe, than assist per game. Let me pull up his stat line for this season. So, yeah, he's averaging, I mean, it's not much, but 10.7 rebounds or 10.4 assists and obviously 31.9 points. So he's averaging more rebounds per game than assists, which is you wouldn't normally think you would see
in a point guard. Yeah.
So I think that's what I find more interesting and fascinating from it. But yesterday, like I said, he really has MVP moment because he, of course, has the most triple-doubles in a single season now. And yesterday... He hits the game-winning three-pointer from about 40 feet out at the buzzer, 106-105, to defeat the Denver Nuggets and eliminate them from playoff contention all at the same time. Wow.
What more can you ask from him?
I know.
He did it.
I've kind of, on this
11-11 from free throws.
On this show and on the sports show, I've kind of been not giving him the benefit of the doubt the whole entire time, but I think after yesterday... I don't know how you can say he's not the MVP. Like, I realize we'll get to what James Harden said at the end.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden talking about the MVP finally, what he had to say about it. And I realize the Thunder don't necessarily have the same amount of wins as them, but the teams are not even nearly in comparison as far as goodness The Rockets are way better than the Thunder are. And which is kind of ironic is that they're going to be meeting in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs.
Right.
Which is definitely a great storyline. You have the top two MVP candidates meeting off, which is definitely good. And it will be fun and definitely a lot of talking points.
Yes.
There. But the fact that what he's doing, I mean, without Westbrook, this team is probably the worst team in the league. Like, there's
no doubt about it.
Like, their second best player in cancer. And Steven Adams is okay, but it's like there's nobody on this team. And the fact that they've got 46 wins this year, Westbrook is not really playing that many minutes. He hasn't played over 40 minutes in a single game that has not gone to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he's doing all this playing 48 minutes. He's doing all this averaging. I think he's averaging 38 minutes a game. So he's doing all this in 38 minutes, which is spectacular. He only had two turnovers yesterday, although he's leading the league in turnovers, and he shoots the ball a lot. I don't know how you can't give it to him. Like, he's just having, literally, I think, the best season of anybody. And it's really, really crazy to think that anybody could average triple-double again, but he did the unthinkable. Mm-hmm. So congrats to Russ, and we'll see what happens. The MVP is announced on June 26th.
Yes.
You might want to, like, mark your calendar right now.
I know. I'm anticipating
it. It's going to be really, really interesting to see who comes out. Either Harden or Russ, maybe even a co-MVP. We've had Kobe talk about that. You don't like that idea?
No.
You got to give it to one guy?
Yes.
I mean, we've seen co-MVPs in like the NFL a couple times.
This is not everybody leaves happy.
There's no participation medals in the NBA.
Yes, no participation medals.
Well, let's get to the last.
You win, you lose. You can't do both.
I would not do a co-MVP as well. I think there's got to be something, unless they literally tie as far as votes are concerned,
then take a
which
revote.
Is possible. Come on, really? Like, what is this? The presidential election?
But we're not gonna.
Well, what's Florida
so,
doing? What's
okay,
the Miami
but then if
doing?
You think about it, if you're Harden or Westbrook, either of these gentlemen, top two candidates as of late, you know, has been. Say they do a co MVP and they say James and Big Russ, they're both gonna be mad. James is either. I don't.
I
think,
wouldn't say mad.
They're both going to be like, really
good, but disappointed at the same time.
Yeah, like they're both going to be like, okay, cool, because like you know, I'm honored for the hard work that I put in this season. That there's that side, but it's like, really, because James is always going to say, well, I had whatever, blah blah blah, and Russ is going to be like, did I not just teach you guys all how to play the game all season long?
Right.
So either way, they're not going to both be satisfied. I think that they'd be more satisfied if somebody outright won it and one of them had to lose, because they're both, as we're seeing, fierce competitors. They're both all about doing the best and solidifying that. So I don't think, even if they were to try to co-MVP it, that's just to soothe the fans' feelings, not the players.
I guess there's some
they
truth
gotta pick
to that.
One they gotta pick one.
Okay, so I guess there's some truth to that, and I'll kind of agree with you in that regard. I don't want to see it either. I want to see one.
Mm-hmm.
The only way it happens to me is if they tie vote-wise, which chances are not very likely. But after yesterday, I don't know how you can't give it to Russ, especially what he did. It's right at the end of the season. Like, that's your lasting impression. Like,
right.
He who laughs last usually laughs the loudest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he put that stamp on his MVP resume
yesterday,
right at the end of the year, which is really, really tough, and that's going to be tough to overcome for a guy like Harden, who's having a fantastic year himself. 2,000 points, assist on 2,000 points, the first player to ever do that. So it's going to be interesting. Like I said, June 26th, you're going to want to mark your calendar. So we kind of went a little long on that, so we're going to take our first break now. But after the break, we're still talking about the NBA from yesterday. We have the Cavaliers and the Hawks. Cavaliers kind of lit a boo-boo yesterday. They kind of let one get away. We'll talk about that. Talk about some other games in the NBA. Do a little bit of college news, LaVar Ball, Indiana guard OJ Anunoby is declaring for the draft. So we'll talk about all that coming up next year at the GSMC Basketball Podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
We are back here at the GSMC Basketball Podcast. We're still talking some NBA. So yesterday, Pauline, yep. The Hawks played the Cavaliers. The Hawks win 126-125 in overtime. The Cavs have now dropped back-to-back games to the Atlanta Hawks, so kind of interesting there.
Mm-hmm.
But you're thinking to yourself, oh, 126-125 overtime, probably a good competitive game right. All the way through.
I'm like, yeah, this was a great game.
Well, so the Cavaliers started the fourth quarter with a 26-point lead. 26. They blew a 26-point
right.
fourth quarter lead and lost in overtime to the Atlanta Hawks 126-125. Not a compelling good game the whole way through. The Cavs blew it.
Right.
They were beating them bad in the first quarter by 17. They were up by 19 at the half. They outscored them by 7 in the third. Blow a 26-point fourth quarter lead. They gave up 44 points in the fourth quarter.
44 points.
44. And only scored 18. So that's, of course, 26. But, oh my gosh, how worried are you about the Cavs now? It's like everything was like, on Friday, I tooted my own horn a little too early.
Mm-hmm.
I sang their praises, Pauline.
Right.
they beat the Celtics on Wednesday. They beat them bad.
Yeah.
They won their next game. I'm like, you
they
know,
look
the
like
Cavs,
they're finally falling back together.
Like the Celtics lost to, I think it was the Hawks, actually, the next night on Thursday. It's like, you know, the Cavs are definitely looking like they're like in a good spot. You know what I mean? They're,
mm-hmm.
they're ready. They're back. They just pounded Boston. They really solidified themselves that they're finally going to start playing hard. And then they went and did this. I realize like 99 times out of 100, they're going to win when they're up 26 to start the fourth quarter.
Yes.
But that one happened.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, how did that happen again? Like, are you worried
about
the Cavs?
How do you give up 44 points?
Are you worried
about
the Cavs?
I'm worried about them shifting into cruise control and not waking up quick enough because, okay, you're up by 26, so yeah, you're kind of in cruise control. You're planning on winning. But then after they start scoring and cutting it closer, why are we not shifting back into that competitive mode to be like, oh, shoot, stop this?
You know what was interesting after the game is that they actually blamed the referees.
Of
like
course.
They were really critical.
Who else are we going to blame?
They're really critical of them. And I'm like, yeah, there might have been some bad calls. And there was. But it's
not
like,
enough for 44 points.
It's like, had you have not blown a 26-point
yeah.
fourth quarter lead, you wouldn't have to worry about the
right.
refs. You know what
right.
I mean? The refs didn't allow you to go up 26 points. You know what I mean? You were balling. You were playing fantastic. And then, oh, they let them back in the game. They,
yeah,
you know
26
I mean? No.
points worth.
Like, no, that did not happen. So you kind of have
Cry
to just look at yourselves. And it's an excuse. And now you're looking at the Cavs and Celtics, and they're tied 51-29. So we have two games left.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavs do, of course, have a tiebreaker head-to-head. So you have two games left, though. It's anyone's ball game for that top seed in the Eastern Conference. And, I mean, even the Raptors are a game and a half back. So they're technically there, even though...
Sure.
I mean, they're really not, because if... Either they drop one game or the Celtics or Cavs win a game, then they're eliminated. But they've been playing fantastic without Kyle Lowry, which is quite honestly really, really remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
So they're playing really well. And now, as far as me, if I'm worried about the Cavs or not, I literally go back and forth on this because it's like they had a terrible march. They picked it up.
Yeah.
And now it's like they're back down again.
It's
what
like
happened
each
yesterday.
Week is you don't know what to expect.
So it's like... I'll say what I've said the whole time. Am I necessarily worried about them to get out of the Eastern Conference? I'm really not. I mean, a big game last week against the Celtics on the road without Tristan Thompson, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed up for it. I mean, they pounded the Celtics. They literally were like, okay, big money game. Let's show them what we're made of.
Right.
The rest of it, like, we've been looked at like, oh, we don't really care about the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the NBA has kind of gotten to now with the whole resting and the tanking situation. It's like it doesn't really matter. It's like now this is a big money game here. Let's show them what we're made of. Like,
right.
let's treat this as a playoff game. And they mm-hmm. went on and they pounded the Celtics. And then it's like, oh, we beat them. Like, okay, everyone else we don't have to really worry about.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure they were taking it serious yesterday, but, you know, things happen. I remember the Bulls blew a big fourth quarter lead to the Kings one time. Remember that one time the Lakers came back from the Mavericks in the fourth quarter when they were down by over 20? Like, these things don't happen very often, but they happen. I mean, things happen. So I'm not going to really bash the Cavs for that, but, I mean, blowing a 26-point fourth quarter lead is definitely not a good look. And for me, I'm worried about two things with the Cavs. I am worried about a couple of things. Number one, if they play the Hawks in the second round, I feel like they just kind of match up with them really, really well.
Yeah.
The Hawks this season are 3-1 against the Cavs. The one game they did lose was by 5 points. So they're definitely competing with the Cavs. The Hawks right now are the fifth seed. So in the second round, you're looking at if they do beat the Wizards, who are currently the fourth seed, then you could have them match up in the second round. So I would be a little worried as far as the Hawks giving the Cavs a series, because they just really match up well with them, and they've played them hard this season.
Right, right.
And then the other thing I'm worried about is that the Cavs cannot win on the road. They're 20-20 on the road. They're 500 on the road in the NBA Finals if they get there, whether it be the Warriors, Spurs, or even the Rockets. They all have better records than the Cavs, so they're going to be not the home seed in the NBA Finals if they get there. Can they beat the Warriors at Oracle this season like they did last season? Can they beat the Spurs at the AT&T Center? All these questions are left to be seen because they can't win away from home. They're 31-9 at home, and they're 20-20 on the road. Even if they don't get the number one seed against the Celtics, I realize they just beat the Celtics in Boston, but can they do that over a series? Because the Cavs aren't going to win every single game they play at home. They're going to drop one occasionally.
At least one,
So can they pick up those games on the road? They've done it in the past. LeBron's done it in the past. But this season hasn't really worked out.
They're really weird this season,
That's a great word. That's a great word to say. They're just weird this season. The Cavs are just weird.
They're not terrible. They're just weird.
It's almost like they feel like they're just taking their foot off the pedal, and then it's not getting back on, and all of a sudden it's back on, and then it's off. Like, they're just kind of like weird and weary, inconsistent right now. So that's definitely not a good sign for the Cavs. But blowing a 26-point fourth quarter lead, quite honestly, is even worse. So let's talk about some other games in the NBA from yesterday. We did have the Raptors beat the Knicks. We have the Suns topping the Mavericks. The Rockets, behind a triple-double from Harden, beat the Kings 135-128. The Pistons beat the Grizzlies. And then yesterday, another good storyline here. The Lakers beat the T-Wolves 110-109. D'Angelo Russell hits a game-winning three-pointer at the buzzer on the night his grandma, or on the day his grandma died. He actually dedicated it to his grandma, and it's almost like she was with him during the shot, because he shoots the ball off the left wing, and it kind of like rattled off the rim, went straight up in the air, and then right down again. You know what I mean? It's like, every other time that happens, it's probably going out.
It's almost like
fate was in there. So it's good for Russell, although I'm sure Magic's probably not happy the Lakers won, because he's trying to lose as many games as he can. Because the Lakers, of course, they need to keep, if they want to keep the number, their pick this season, they have to have it in the top three. So they're trying to lose as many games as they can to try and not have anybody jump ahead of them in that lottery situation. Because if they don't finish in the top three for their pick, it goes to the Sixers, which is definitely be big for Philly, seeing as how their rookie this season might be playing a different position next year, but we'll get to that. So it's a good victory for the Lakers and a good storyline for D'Angelo Russell. In the loss, Carl Anthony Towns had 40 points and 21 rebounds, though.
I love him.
I love him. I think
monster.
I think in 2 years he'll be the best big man
in
the league.
What a monster.
In 2 years, I think he's the best big man in the league.
Yes, what a monster.
We'll see what happens, though. And moving on, we'll talk about a little college basketball news here before we take the break. Indiana sophomore OJ Anunoby, he is going to declare for the draft. He's 6'8". He averaged 11 points, 5 rebounds this season. He's probably going to be a first-round pick, although he did miss the majority of the second half of the season because of a right knee injury. Indiana was 10-6 with Anunoby in the lineup, and without him, they were 8-10. So you can see that he definitely had an effect on the team. So we'll see what happens. But probably because of his size and athleticism, he's probably near that late part of the first round because of the injury concerns. Had he been healthy, definitely would have helped his draft case. Maybe like middle, first round, maybe the late lottery. But he's definitely declaring for the draft, and that's definitely, I think, the right move for him. Let's talk about LaVar Ball now before we take our last break. So on Friday, Pauline, you'll remember, well, I guess you can say on Thursday this happened. On Friday, I talked about it. LaVar Ball said that the reason he feels like UCLA lost in the Sweet 16 to Kentucky was because they had too many white guys in the lineup. Talking about TJ Leaf, Bryce Alford, and Thomas Welsh. He's like, their foot speed's a little too slow. You know what I mean? Now he's kind of backtracking on what he's saying.
Yep.
Someone talked about
him
on ESPN LA 710. And he said, you know, I'm not saying I don't like the white guys and we lost because of them. That's just not how it happened. I love those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're like friends to me and my son and everything. But it was just a comment about the game and what I saw. Are you buying it? By look on your face, I don't really think so.
I don't. I think that I think this one is coming back to bite him in the butt. Like, it is.
Yeah, like, everything he said is kind of, like, bizarre and out there, but it didn't really push
I think
any
this
lines.
One, yeah.
Like, this one
was a tad bit much. You know, I think, one, it's too soon. As far as, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's too soon. Like, they just lost. It's just the end of the tournament and all that. It's too soon. Two, it's not like these guys are terrible players. And I think it just all the way around was too soon, too much said, not said in the right way, and it probably shouldn't have been said. As far as that's concerned, blaming any specific person for the reason why your team fell when it's, you know. But then, I don't know, with LeVar.
He kind of, like I said,
I think this one's definitely...
You put it perfectly.
Coming to bite him.
Definitely crossed some lines. Now he's trying to like backtrack and make up for it, but everyone's like, "Yeah, like I'm not really buying it."
Yeah,
and now he's kind of like,
"Everything else we can chop up as theatrics."
Let me stay quiet for a while, and hopefully this goes away.
I think so too. I think now that he's had his little apology, we'll just keep it.
Especially given the fact that his kids are half white.
And not even just with that. Just I think this is a soft little nudge for him to say, okay, let's let your son and what is happening right now. I don't want anything that he does to overshadow what his son is doing, any of his sons. And because the draft is coming up and everything like that, let's focus on your son now. Let's just not say anything else. Let this just be a soft nudge that, okay, quiet down. Like you said, let's just focus on the draft. Let's not have any outside media attention. Let's think Cavs, Spurs. Cavs always have extra outside media attention, theatrics, dramatics, and all that. Spurs never do, and always slow and steady. Let's just no extra distractions.
I mean,
just,
I think this will really boil over, but I think he definitely needs to like be choosy on his words recently or going forward, because recently he kind of wasn't. So
right.
We'll see what happens. He's not going to stop talking. He's trying to build that brand and
which is totally fine.
Deal.
Totally fine.
Yeah, like you said, it's all totally fine.
But your sons, especially Lonzo at this time, has that skill to build that brand. We don't need the PR right now because we have the action.
He's going to be at worst the number two pick unless he blows his knee up, which I hope is not
the case. So, you know what I mean? Like, we don't need all the extra PR right now. People are aware. Now it's time to put in the work type side.
Exactly. So with that, we're going to take our last break of the show. After the break, we're going to talk a little MVP talk. What did James Harden have to say about the thing? And Ben Simmons growing. Yes, growing in stature. All that coming up next here at the GSMC Basketball Podcast.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
We're back here at the GSMC Basketball Podcast talking some MVP talk as well as Ben Simmons. We'll talk about the MVP first. So James Harden, of course, one of the top two. We've already debated a little bit. And right. we're not going to necessarily debate who we think is going to win it because we already did that.
Right.
But
right.
we'll just kind of do what he said yesterday. So they played the Kings. They won 135-128.
Mm-hmm.
He said after the game, I think that the most important thing is about winning, period. Harden did get his 21st triple-double of the season. I'm not going to get in depth with all that, but I think winning was the most important thing. If you set your team up in a position to have a chance at the ultimate goal, that's the most important thing. So let's give you a little bit of some stats about winning and records-wise as far as sure. MVP goes. So according mm-hmm. to the Elias Sports Bureau, the last 34 MVPs, the player that won it has been on a team that has been ranked within the top three of their respective conferences in wins.
Sure.
The only two that were not ranked within the top two was Michael Jordan in the 87-88 season and Steve Nash in 2005-2006. And in overall, 45 of the 61 MVP finishers this season, or overall, mm-hmm. have finished first in the conference, and 12 of them have finished first in triple-doubles. So you're looking at record-wise, and the stats will tell you that if you're outside the top three, your chances of winning an
you're
MVP
just not gonna get it.
Are not really good recently.
Mm-hmm.
You will remember in 1962 was the year that Oscar Robertson averaged triple-double. He finished third in MVP voting. That year, Bill Russell won it with 60 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar Robertson only had 43 wins that year. So it's really, really similar to 1962.
This is all, it's, yeah.
I mean,
it's
the
eerie.
Thunder right now have 44 right. wins, I believe. So, I mean, it's definitely really, really eerie, as mm-hmm. you mentioned. Pauline, do you feel like you have to give it to the guy with the wins, like Harden is saying, or just the guy who has the incredible stat line like Westbrook does?
I think that's where it gets a tad bit tricky in this season because normally you do go with the guy whose squad has more wins, but you're not also going up against a guy who is literally setting NBA records in that same season. So I think that's why it is a conversation and why people are kind of vacillating in between the two of them because it's like, okay, James is having a great season and his team is having a stellar season. But at the same time, Russell is not only breaking but setting, you know, records as far as with the triple doubles and everything like that, stuff that has not been seen really ever. Only once before, truly. And so I think that's why it's a little bit different in this case. And I think also, I get what Harden is saying, though, in his defense. Like, I get it. But is this ever, because even if Russell has a great season next season, it's not going to be this season.
No, he's not. He's not going to replicate what he did
no.
this year. Next year, no one.
Nobody is going to for another however long it took this time.
No,
you know what I mean. Like it doesn't happen often. We were talking the other day, and you mentioned. I think it was Anthony might have mentioned it. Like Bron had just had his like 11th triple double of the season, and it's like that's a big deal. But right now, it doesn't seem like it when you have a guy having
like that's the most LeBron's ever had in a year.
Yeah, like you know. And that is a big deal, but it's like, not really. You know, this season, at least.
I feel like there's like three people putting up like literally career years. Like, Westbrook's doing what he does, of course. James Harden's doing what he does. Every other year, James mm-hmm. Harden is the MVP. And then you have LeBron, who's putting up like 28-8-8. And like, every other year, he would be the MVP. But like, these other guys are just doing ridiculous things at the exact same time. And they're both going to play 82 games, so the rest thing's not a factor because they're both believe in playing all the time. Man, just given the history, I feel like it's going to go to Harden because the team is better and the record's better. But I've been big on Harden all year, and I still
right.
am. But just given what Westbrook just accomplished this season
mm-hmm.
and then that stamp on it yesterday, I think I would just have to give it to him. I think he probably deserves it more than Harden.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, he's carrying the burden of the entire franchise. Harden's not necessarily doing that. He's definitely carrying a lot of it, but he's got a lot of people around him as well that are capable. With Westbrook's stance, it's not really the case. And I mentioned, I thought the Thunder had 44 wins, but they have 46. So I feel like he's just carrying more of the burden. And I think when you're looking at MVP, I'd probably give him that because of that. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, June 26, mark your calendars. So let's end the show real quick, but not after we talk about Ben Simmons.
Oh, yes.
So Ben Simmons, of course, number one pick to the Sixers. He's not going to play the whole entire year. He did have a fracture in his right foot that cost him the whole season. So he'll technically still be a rookie next season. But he might be playing a different position. Ben Simmons reportedly...
Like, we're serious. We're serious right now.
Yes, according to former Sixers player World Be Free and WIP-FM beat reporter John Johnson, who works with the team, Simmons has reportedly grown to just under 7 feet tall, which is about two and a half, three inches taller than when he came out of LSU at 6'9", 6'10". So now, Simmons is reportedly 7 feet tall, although... Coach Bobby Brown, Bryce Brown, is denying this. I don't know why he would necessarily say that.
Why?
I mean, these guys are with the team all the time. They're not going to lie. He's reportedly 7 feet tall now. I mean, how scary does this make him already look? Potential's there. I mean, I've kind of been critical of him because coming out of college, he necessarily wasn't the best teammate. A lot of reports talking about how he didn't really care, wasn't really there for the coach. So his mind should not be there, but physically, he's an unbelievable talent. Was looking at maybe even playing point guard for them. I mean, he's got that skill set. Now he could be 7 feet tall? We've seen this before. Like, Paul George.
I mean, yeah, and it happens.
Paul George came out of Fresno State at 6'8", and now he's 6'10". It happens.
It happens because they're young guys. He's a young guy.
Yeah, he only played 1 year in college. He's only 19,
he's young.
20 years
so,
old,
so he, that part is not. A, who knows?
All I can say is one thing. Look out.
Right.
The sky is literally, the ceiling is the roof for the Sixers. Like MJ said, the ceiling is the roof for the Sixers. Because if you can keep Embiid healthy, he's going to be a very good big man. We showed it this year. Dario Saric can stretch the floor. You have Jahlil Okafor inside. Now you throw in Ben Simmons into that mix at possibly like a small forward position, like Dirk-esque at 7 foot tall.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
They're going to be like the first team ever to start like a 6'8 or taller team. You know what I mean? Like, get some size. Draft Lonzo Ball if you get the chance at 6'6". I mean, they're just scary, scary athletic and scary tall if they can get everyone healthy. Like, look out.
I agree.
We've never seen this kid play. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But everything looks like he's got a lot of talent. A lot of people comparing him to LeBron James. That just kind of says it all there. So if he can stay healthy, look out. If he's 7 foot tall, that's just absolutely scary for what everybody has to look through in the NBA. So with that being said, we're going to say goodbye until tomorrow. My name is Ben.
I'm Pauline.
Thank you for listening here at the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. We hope you enjoy the show. Have a good day, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.